amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. Was grace that taught my heart to feel, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear the hour I first believed. My chains are gone, I've been set free. My God, my Savior, has ransomed me. And like a flood, His mercy rains, unending love, amazing grace. His word, my hope secures. He will my shield and portion be as long as life endures. My chains are gone, I've been set free. My God, my Savior has ransomed me, and like a flood, His mercy rains, unending love, amazing grace. My chains are gone. The earth shall soon dissolve like snow. The sun forbear to shine. But God, who called me here below, will be forever mine. Will be forever mine. You are forever mine.
Amen. I love that song. I don't know about you. I'm glad to know we serve a God who's able to do anything and everything that you have need of here today. And we come together on this Sunday morning not just to see you, and I'm glad you're here, but because we serve a God who has transformed every single one of us by His saving grace. And I want to tell you here today, I don't know what you come in here with, but the God who can save you can also deliver you. He can set you free. He can give you hope. He can provide, and He can make a way for you. Just let Him do it. I'm glad today we can put our faith in a God like that. Amen. Well, if you have your Bibles with you this morning, I want you to go ahead and turn with me to the book of Matthew chapter 9. We are in the second week of a new sermon series entitled The Counselor. Perhaps you missed previous weeks. At last Sunday, we were going and dealt with the subject about when Christ was on the boat with his disciples and a storm came. And the wind, of course, and the waves tossed the ship, and the disciples were terrified, and they found Jesus asleep in the bottom of the boat. And they wake him up, and they say, "Master, don't you care that we're going to die here? Don't you see what's going on?" Then, of course, Jesus gets up, and he rebukes the winds and the waves. They listen. Then he turns, and he asks his disciples a question. He said, "Why are you so afraid?" And the premise of the series that we're in right now is the fact that Christ knows how to ask the right question. He's a counselor. He's that one that can come along and he can show us. He can bring light upon things. If you read the New Testament, you're going to find over 100 questions that Christ asked at different times. And so today we're going to be getting into another subject, and maybe you're in a place where you need a miracle. You need God to do something. You really need Him to show up in your life. You don't know what else you're going to do. You've tried every option that you got, and you're in a place where you need a miracle. Today, we're going to be looking at a situation where two men find themselves in that place, and they have an encounter with Christ. And He asks them this question, and we'll get to it here in just a minute. He says, "Do you believe that I can do this?" And I'll explain that more in just a little bit. Next week, we are going to, this is one I think that a lot of us may need an answer to, and maybe you're right there in your life right now, where there's an ongoing problem. What I mean by ongoing, it's not a week long, it's not a month long, this is years. This is a difficult thing that you find yourself in. It could be health, you know, it could be a relationship, it could be a financial situation, and you're just, you know, you're at the bottom, you don't know what to do. We're going to look at a story about a man who had been lame for 38 years, who has an encounter with Jesus Christ. And I'm excited about that. And then the next week, we're going to deal with those, maybe you have spiritual doubt. That's one of the most common problems today, and it's not addressed as often as it should be. We're going to look at that and see how Jesus asked the right questions. And we're going to look what the Word of God has to tell us about those situations. So I want us to be ready. If you have your Bibles at Matthew 9, you can go ahead and get us ready to read that here in just a minute. But before we get into this, I want to give us the context of a few verses as we look at this today. Because what's going on here is Jesus had just healed a little girl or raised her from the dead. It blew everybody's mind. They were just fascinated. Wow, you know, I knew he could do this, but I didn't know he could raise somebody from the dead. So everybody was going and telling everyone they saw, "Hey, this Jesus guy, he's in town, and he just raised a girl from the dead." And so word begins to spread like a wildfire, just like gossip in Gurdon. You know, it was there in just a minute, and it's faster than the internet. It's super fast. And so, you know, all these people begin to come and see what was going on. And two of the men who heard about it were some blind men. They'd been blind. They don't even tell us how long they'd been in this state, but they couldn't see. And they heard that Jesus was in town. And this is where we're about to pick up here and read our scripture here today, starting in verse 27. These men, they wanted a miracle. That's why they go find Jesus. It says that when Jesus departed from there, where the girl was healed, resurrected from the dead, two blind men followed him. They followed him doing what? Let's say it together. Crying out. They followed him crying out and saying, "Son of David, have mercy on us." So these two men, they heard about Jesus and what he'd done, and he left that place. He was going somewhere else. And when he departed, the two men, they followed Jesus, and they were crying out. They were screaming out. They were hollering aloud. And I'll explain a little bit more about that in just a minute. And they were saying, "Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy on us." And if you see this, this means the words they're using here, when they called him the son of David, they indicate that they believed he was the Messiah. So they had some faith here. They recognize this was someone special. But in the verses in English, you know, we get the calling out or the crying out words. We miss some of the meaning. Because the Greek word, it means to cry out like the scream of a panther. Or the sound of an animal that has been caught in a trap and screams out. Actually, in the book of Revelation, when it talks about a woman in travail giving birth, it's the same word. It means to scream out in pain and anguish. So they weren't just crying out, "Hey, Jesus!" But they were screaming, "Jesus! Jesus, thou Son of David!" And it was something that was soul-piercing, ear-piercing. It was a cry from the depths of the heart for God to intervene in their situation. So here these two men are. They're following Jesus and they're crying out, "Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy on me." Now, obviously, I'm not blind. And it's hard to try to act like you know what it's like. Now, some of you may have experience. You may have temporary blindness and it's scary. I was thinking the closest thing I've come to it is, you know, as a kid, you wake up in the middle of the night and the power went out and you're out in the country and you can't see anything. Well, I had this one instance where it was in the middle of the night. I was about 6-7 years old. And I get up and it's so dark you can't see, you know, your hand in front of your face. And so I'm stumbling through the house. I'm trying to get to Mom and Dad's room. And halfway through the house, remember, I can't see anything, so I'm trying not to break a toe or something. The alarm system goes off. Now, what do you think a six-year-old does when the alarm goes off in the middle of the night when they can't see? I screamed bloody murder in the middle of the night. My parents accidentally turned the motion sensors on is what happened. And so my parents jump out of bed, and you know, they come in there, and they see what's going on. See, our alarm system was on a backup battery. But whatever the case was, I screamed out. So, I don't know what it is to be blind, but I do know what it is to be scared. To be at a place where you're trying to get somebody's attention, where you're crying out. And so this is what these men were doing. So imagine it, these two men, they're following him and they're desperate. They've been blind maybe all their lives, we don't know. They're crying out, "Son of David, have mercy on us." Verse 28, it says, Jesus, had come into the house, the blind man came to him. Here's something I want you to notice before we get a little bit further here. Jesus was walking from one place to another. These men were crying out, "Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy on us." It doesn't say he stopped. He went into another house. But it says here that the men followed him in. And when they followed him in, they came to him. And Jesus said unto them, "Do you believe that I am able to do this?" In other words, these men, they were looking for a miracle. And Jesus lays his hand on their shoulder and says, "Hey, do you believe that I can do this for you?" And they said to him, "Yes, Lord." Then he touched their eyes, saying, "According to your," what's the word? "Faith." Let's say it again. "Faith. According to your faith, let it be to you." And their eyes were open. Now notice something here that Jesus didn't say, "According to how much money you have in your bank, that's if I'm going to do it or not for you." He didn't say, "If you got the right kind of clothes on, if you have Under Armour on today, good, I'm going to heal you. But if you got knockoffs from Walmart, forget it," you know. He didn't say, "Well, as long as you are good standing in your community, as long as you didn't miss church last week, then I'm going to do this for you." That's not what Jesus said to these men. He said, "Hey, according to your faith, so let it be." And when we hear that, it can be two things. It can be one, encouraging, and two, confusing. I'll explain that. It's encouraging because we recognize that Jesus or God responds to faith. He responds to men and women, boys and girls, who believe in him and trust in him and who cry out to him and turn to him in their time of need. It's encouraging because, you know, the story we see here, that faith is rewarded with the healing, and it's exciting, and it's something that we like to lay a hold on. But it also can be confusing because at the same time, it's something that can be misused in the church world. "Well, I prayed and I believed and it didn't happen." And inevitably you have that one person that says, well, you must not have believed enough. I always want to slap them, you know. You must not have prayed enough. You must not have prayed loud enough. You must have started off wrong or ended your prayer. Did you say amen? You know. Did you cry when you prayed? Because if you didn't, I don't know if God can answer, you know. And you have these people that are very critical saying, well, it's just because you did not believe. You did not have enough faith. And so understand that. You say, Pastor, I've been praying for 20 years. It still hasn't happened. Does that mean that I don't have faith? Does that mean that maybe I don't believe? What is it here? Well, I want to say something here, and we're going to dive into this message. It leads to a natural question that we're going to try to answer today. And it's this. First of all, our faith is not in faith. It's not in if I can believe enough. It's in the faithfulness of God. It's recognizing who He is. It's not believing that I can believe enough. It's recognizing I serve a God with whom all things are possible. But as we look at this, the encouragement, but also the confusing aspect of this, it leads to the question, now what kind of faith touches God? Or what type of faith gets God's attention and God responds to? What kind of faith does God honor? And the first type of faith, if you're wanting to write this down and you're taking notes, is this. The type of faith God honors is faith, now listen to this, that believes when it doesn't see. Hebrews 11 and verse 1 in the King James, it says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Another version, the NLT says it this way. It says, faith is the confidence that what we hope for will actually happen. It gives us assurance about things that we cannot see. You know, one of the best ways I can describe it is this. Noah built an ark before it ever rained. He did it by faith. Abraham and Sarah believed God for a child before they ever saw a reason to believe it. The people of Israel, they marched around the walls of Jericho for 7 days before one brick fell out of place because they were doing it by faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So in the scripture, in our text here today, we see here that when Jesus had gone indoors, the blind man came to him and they asked him, you know, and he asked them, do you believe that I can do this? And they replied, yes, Lord. And that's what I want to ask you here today. There's some of you, or many of you today, you come in here with a problem. You come into this house today. Maybe there's something going on in your marriage. Maybe there's a financial need. Maybe there's a physical need. It could be emotional, relational. There's so many different aspects of your life it could be involved in. And you come in today saying, God, I've got to have a miracle. I've done everything I know to do. I'm trying. I'm doing everything. God, I've got to have a miracle. I've got to see. I don't know what to do here. And I believe today God is wanting to ask you the same question that He asked those two blind men. Do you believe that I can do this? Now, there's a difference between believing in God and believing God. You say, yeah, I believe in God. I believe God's real. No, today I'm not asking you, do you believe there is a God? I'm asking you, do you believe God is able? Do you believe God when He said, call for the elders of the church. Lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Do you believe God when He says, I'm able to do exceedingly abundantly above all you could even ask or even think of? Do you believe God? And that's what I believe God wants to ask you here today. No matter what your situation is, do you believe God? You say, brother, I need to forgive, and it's hard. I don't know how I'm going to do it. But He's able to give you the strength that you need. Do you believe in God? You say, yes, brother, I believe. You know, especially if you've been in church a long time. What's our answer? Absolutely. Amen. Hallelujah, brother. I believe in God. Usually that's a dead giveaway that maybe you just memorized it and you don't necessarily understand what you're saying. You know, we can say it, but really what we do and even what we say in other times betrays us. So yes, brother, I believe in God. Let me ask you a question. What have you prayed for consistently over the last 7 days? I want you to think for just a minute. Consistently. Is it over your food? That's the only thing? Is it for big stuff? Is it little stuff? What we pray for tells us what we believe God for. What we're willing to pray about is a declaration to us and those around us what we truly believe that God is able to do. Say, brother, I really need God to work in this, but do you believe him? Do you believe that he's able? Yes, I do. Well, have you been praying about it? You know, there's so many different ways that we can look at it. And you know, this is something we say all the time that I think is kind of betrays us. Say, brother, I've done everything that I can do. And all I can do now, the only thing I can do is pray. You're all so serious. You know it's true, right? Guess all I can do now is pray. And God's up in heaven saying, oh, sorry, man. You're stuck with me. That's all you got left. I tell you what. I'm glad that I have access to God. And he's the one that I'm believing to do something about. I have a lot more faith in God than I do a doctor. Anyone say amen? Huh? You say, brother, all I can do is pray. Let me tell you what, prayer is a powerful tool to touch and get a hold of God. It's not something we should laugh off, but it's something we should lay a hold of and recognizing that I can touch and I can receive an answer from the King of Kings, the mighty God, the one who is able to do more than what I could ever even think of. So a faith that moves God or a faith that honors God is one that believes when it doesn't see. Secondly, a faith that honors God is a faith that persists when nothing changes. I pointed out to you as we read our text, Jesus didn't answer immediately when those blind men were hollering out or yelling, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. He didn't stop right then. They had to continue to follow him into the house that he was going through. But he did answer. And there's a verse in Colossians chapter 4, verse 2 I want to leave with you. And it says this. It says, be persistent in prayer and keep alert as you pray, giving thanks to God. Now, if you read the book of Luke chapter 18, you find a story of a woman who kind of illustrates this. And Jesus used it when he was trying to make this point about being persistent with God. And he used the story of a widow woman that needed a judge to rule in her favor. There's something, an injustice that had been done to her, but the scripture refers to her, to the judge, as the unjust judge. But the story goes that this woman would not leave him alone. She kept coming back every day. He would say, no, woman, I'm not doing that. Maybe, you know, it was his friend that had wronged her. He's like, hey, you know, sorry, this ain't going to happen. I don't believe your side of the story. And he dismisses her. But every day she came back. And the next day, and the next day, and the next day, she would return. And then at the end of this parable, Jesus stops and says, an unjust judge finally gave in because of her crying. How much more do you think a God in heaven that loves you will respond to the persistent cries of his child? I want you to think about that here this morning. What God is looking for, a faith that honors God, is a faith that persists even when things do not change right away. You say, brother, I prayed twice and I quit. Nothing happened. And so I give up and I'm going on. But God's looking for a faith that is persistence. There is a difference, I believe, if we look at this faith, between oftentimes what we practice and what true faith is made of. And I was thinking back as I was preparing for the sermon to my grandfather, my mom's dad, Grandpa Royal is what we called him. He was a hardworking man. He was a pipe fitter. He worked all over the DFW area, and he lived in Wills Point, Texas. And he was a great man. This is a man who was raised in a terrible home life. His dad was, you know, everything you could think of. He stole from his own son. He saved up the money for his first car. Back then it was $500 or $600, but it's equivalent to $5,000 to $10,000 now. He stole his son's money for booze. This man, you know, was terrible to his kids. He beat them, beat his wife. And my grandfather, at the age of about 18, he got saved in a little Assembly of God church there in East Texas. And God did a wonderful work in his life. He was addicted to all kinds of stuff, and God delivered him instantly. And my mom, of course, was a product of that home. And so, wonderful family, but his dad was still his dad. You know, he was still living that way. When my grandfather told me, he said, you know, I started praying for him soon as God did a work in my life, and he said, I prayed for over 20 years. And finally, my grandfather led his dad to the Lord, and a week later, he was killed in a tragic car accident. But he would share with us, and when he talked about faith and believing and praying and trusting God, he said, you know, I could have given up at the five-year mark. No, the devil was whispering in my ear, you might as well quit, nothing's ever going to happen. 15 years, this ain't working. But he said, I kept believing and trusting God. And one question he would ask is, he says, what if I would have quit? What if I would have stopped? What if I would have given up? I don't know what the result would have been, but I just want to remind some of you here today that you've been praying for a long time. You've been believing for a long time. It's not time to quit yet. It's not time to quit believing, but it's time to keep trusting, persisting, even when you don't see the answer that you're looking for. Trusting in God, even when everything isn't going just like you want it to go. Be persistent. Keep alert. The verse also said, give thanks. This is something that my parents taught me. He said, son, when you ask and pray about something, said, thank God for it before you ever get it. God, I need a healing. Pray about it and say, when it's finished, instead of saying, Lord, amen, he said, start thanking God for the healing you're about to get. It's not just, you know, name it, claim it, buy it, grab it stuff I'm talking about, but it's recognizing that I serve a God who can do it. It's answering the question that Jesus asked. When he turned and said, do you believe I'm able? It's saying, yes, Lord, I believe you're able. And I thank you for what you're about to do in my life. He said, give thanks even before the answer is received. That's what faith does. It trusts God. It believes God, even when you don't see the results yet. So faith that God honors is one, faith that believes when it cannot see. It's faith that persists even when nothing changes. But thirdly, faith that God honors is faith that works when it doesn't make sense. There's a difference between hope and faith. See, brother, I'm hoping God will do this. Hope is a desire. Faith is a demonstration. I think one of the greatest examples is Abraham when he offered his son Isaac. And in the book of Genesis, we read that story. But James wrote in chapter 2, verse 22 of his book in the New Testament, this is what he wrote about Abraham's faith. He said, you see that faith, or Abraham's faith, and his actions were working together. And his faith was made complete by what he did. You see, faith, this reading it again, and his actions working together. So what we find here as we read James is that he's telling us that faith, along with what? Action. You say action with me today? Action. All right. It said that faith, along with his action, doing what? They were working together. So his faith, along with his action, working together, were made complete by what? By what he did. Now understand, faith is not, you know, we don't make it happen, but there's something about when we believe God, we do what we believe and act upon what he's going to do. In other words, I live as if God is able. I live as if God is going to answer. I act as if the answer is already on the way. My faith is made by complete by what I do. And we look at this, the faith that honors God is faith that works even when it doesn't make sense. And oftentimes what I see happens, and you can recognize this maybe in your own life, is that oftentimes we get so caught up on what we can't do that we don't do what we could. You say amen to that? We're so worried about that bill we can't pay that we don't sell what we could to pay it. We're so anxious about what we cannot do in life that we neglect what we know we can or capable of doing. And so what I've seen is a lot of times in our walk with God, if the answer doesn't come, we just let go of everything that God has placed in our hands. And we miss what God has right in front of us. There's this something I was looking at, and I want you to think with me about these blind men. They could have given up and said, you know what? We're blind. We're disabled. We can't work. We can't do anything. We might as well beg. Now, I heard Jesus was in town, but surely God doesn't expect me. Remember, I'm blind. He doesn't expect me to do anything about it. He doesn't expect me to get up and go find him. If he wants to touch me, he'll come to me. They could have made up excuse after excuse. How many of us make up excuses? All right, I just did, and many of you were making excuses in your mind. Why not to raise your hand as I asked that question? We all make excuses about why we, you know, can't believe. You know, I've been through this, and so it's hard for me to believe. It's hard for me to pray about it because maybe I've never seen it, or I've always been in this condition. I've always been like this, so it's hard for me to believe or see anything different. It's hard for me to think God will change this, so I'm just going to accept it. This is just the way it is. It's the way it's going to be, and I'm just going to suffer the rest of my life in agony, and we sit down and we have a pity party. But I want you to look at what these blind men did. They didn't give up. They got up off the ground, wherever they were, wherever they heard the news, and they began to focus on what they could do, not what they couldn't. They begin to focus on what they could. And I just imagine these men as they're getting up, and this is what they're thinking. Or one of them's thinking. He said, you know what? I can't see, but I can hear. I can walk. I can scream. And I can follow Jesus. And I'm going to do all of them I can. I might not be able to see what's going on, but I heard about what Jesus can do. I've got 2 feet. I'm going to follow him. You know, I'm going to use that stick. I may trip a few times, but I'm going to follow Jesus. And I'm going to scream at the top of my lungs, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy upon me. What were these men doing? They were showing faith. Their faith was working even when it didn't make sense. Even when they had excuses they could make. Even when they had reasons to not even try. These two men said, you know what? I could sit down and have a pity party. But instead, I'm going to do what I can. And I'm going to get to Jesus. I'm going to do what I can. I'm going to use the senses that I have to see what will happen. I just want to encourage you here today. Don't waste your life worrying about what you can't do. Do what you can. I say, Pastor, I can't pay the bills today. Like one man told me, so he said, sell everything you got except for the kids. Do what you have to, but do what you can. You say, Pastor, I can't get rid of this cancer. I've tried. I've done everything I know to do. I went to every doctor. You know, and the thing is, and I've tried everything. Well, do what you can. Maybe it's change your diet. Maybe it's go see a different doctor. But it's praying, and it's believing God. You say, Pastor, you know, I can't change my spouse. We're just not getting along very well. No, you can't change your spouse. But if you begin to ask God to give you the strength to be the spouse you need to be and begin to pray for God to do a miracle in your home, watch what God will do. But a lot of times we do nothing and expect God to do everything. He's saying, son, I want you to do what you can. Say, well, you know, I'm addicted. I can't get over this. There's something it just draws me in. And you know, I just given into it. That's the way I am. That's the way it's going to be for the rest of my life. Instead of making those excuses, it's time to say, God, you know what? I've tried. I can't do it. I need you to get involved in this situation. Hey, I can't make this happen. But you know what? I'm going to put some safeguards in place. I'm going to get some people to say, hey, guys, I'm struggling with this. Will you help me out? Will you be my accountability partner here? Maybe it's looking at stuff you shouldn't on the computer. Put blocks on it. Get an accountability partner and pray for God to help you, and you make every effort you can. But a lot of times we don't even try. And then we blame it on God when he doesn't do what we desire. I want to tell you here today is that the faith that God blesses is a faith that works even when it doesn't make sense. Even when you don't see where it's going, it's a faith that continues and it works and it does what it can because it's believing God to do what we are unable to do. Maybe there's things that burden you. You ever look around you and just get discouraged by some of the hardship you see around you? You know, you look around this community, it's sad. There are kids in this community that are raised in a home, if they have parents, that are no good to help them. You know, they're either gone or high as a kite, and they're raising themselves. There are people in this community that are dirt poor. We look around our world and you see Christians being persecuted and murdered for Christ. It can burden you and it can overwhelm you. You say, brother, I can't do it. I can't meet all the needs. No, you can't, but you can do something. Say, I can't work. I can't do all that. No, you can't. But you can take a step. You can believe big and you can start small. And God can do great things with your faith. And that's what we've got to do. We've got to get to the place that we're willing to act on our faith. In other words, I believe God's going to do it. So I'm going to do everything I can to get to the place that God can move in my life. So, Pastor, what you're telling me is, as long as I have enough faith, then I'll get exactly what I want. No, that's not what I'm telling you here today. Say, Pastor, well then you mean as long as I believe hard enough, as long as I just use that mind power, you know, I'm believing right here. It's going to happen. No, that's not what I'm telling you. What I am telling you is that you need to put your faith in God, not in faith itself. Put your faith, as I said at the beginning of this message, not in that everything's going to work out the way you want it to if you try hard enough and believe hard enough, but rather put your faith or your belief in a God who never fails. And a God who is faithful, that even when things fall apart, He's still with His people. To believe and trust in a God who will always be with you. And so you're saying, Pastor, you just tell me I need to believe even if I don't know the outcome? Yeah, that's what I'm telling you. See, so you're telling me that I need to believe even if God doesn't give the answer. Yes, that's what I'm telling you. I'm telling you here today that what we've got to do if we want to see God do great things is quit putting conditions on our faith saying, God, I'll trust you, I'll follow you if you do this for me. But rather we need to say, God, I trust you. What did one of the men in the Bible say? He said, Job, he said, though he slay me, yet will I trust him? What I believe God is wanting to do in this house today, He's wanting to raise up some men and women that have the faith of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. What kind of faith is that? Well, here's what happened. You know, their king, Nebuchadnezzar, sits up a statue. He says, you bow to this idol. If you don't, you're going to get thrown in the fire furnace. Everyone bows except for these three, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They're standing back there. Everyone else is bowing. And so the king says, go get those men. They bring him to the king, and they stand before the king, and the king says, hey, don't you know if you don't bow, you're going to get thrown in? I kind of like their response. It was kind of a smart-aleck response. I guess it was righteous indignation coming up in him. He said, king, you can do with us whatever you want. He said, the God that we serve is able to deliver us. But if he doesn't, we're still not going to bow. The God that we serve is able to deliver us out of the fiery furnace. But if he doesn't, we're still not going to do what you want us to do. Because our faith is in God. We know that no matter what happens, even if it's bad, that he is with us. The story goes, they get thrown in the fiery furnace. And then all of a sudden, that king began to look in there. Said, hey, how many did you throw? Oh, wait, you're dead. The scripture says all the men that threw him in were dead. The ones that got close enough. He says, how many was that again? He said, oh, there were three. He said, wait, I see four. He said, in the fourth, he looks kind of like the Son of God. What's going on? And he began to recognize what was going on. And about that time, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they step out of the furnace. The scripture says the only thing gone was the ropes that tied them up. Think about that just a minute. There's some of you, the devil's telling you today what you're going through is going to kill you. But God wants to take what is meant to kill you and make it a testimony of his greatness. What would have happened if these three men said, you know what, hey, they're about to throw them in and say, well, I guess God didn't deliver us. We're going to go ahead. We're going to bow. We're going to give up. And though they said, you know what, kind of like Job, he can slay us, he can kill us, but we're still going to trust him. We're still going to put our faith in God. And when it was all finished, testimony that went through all the land of Babylon because three men said, I don't care what happens to me, I'm going to trust God. And today there's some of you here in this service today, you have found yourself in a place of need where you need a miracle. You find yourself in a place where only God can heal your body, where only God can restore that relationship, where only God can make a way. You can't, you've tried. You say, Pastor, what can I do? Is tell you trust God. I want you to put your faith in a God who is able. And it reminds us, as we started in this lesson, in this sermon here this morning, Jesus looked at those two blind men. I'm sure they've been to every doctor and tried everything they could. He said, "Do you believe that I am able to do this?" Today, there's some of you, you come in here with doubt. You don't see a way out. But God just wants to ask you a simple question. Do you believe that I can do this?